Don Lebatard.
I just don't want to think when I think about sports. I just want to enjoy them. I want to watch them for what they am. Pure entertainment. That's it. That's all it is to me.
Stugatz.
You just said for what they am?
I think I did. Sure, we'll hear that in the Sueys next year.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's V-Week, and during these challenging times, ESPN and the V Foundation's fight against cancer has not stopped. If you are able, please support cancer research by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes to cancer research.
Pardon us, Christine Lisi. Please continue.
And finally, monkeys wash their own hands and feet with their own urine. Speaking of, back to you, Stu. Two for two.
They're a little too obvious, though, Christine, when he sees them coming, you see. When he specifically sees it, he is incapable of anything that resembles vision. So if you are telegraphing.
Same with Sean Payton.
Thank you, Christine. We appreciate it. If you saw what was happening a couple of days ago, this was funny, Stugatz. What did you make of the Jim Schwartz, DK Metcalf back and forth that dominated the news stream as I just sort of scratched my head watching the television saying, man, this is dumb. Like, this is dumb. Like, oh, he's not quite Megatron yet. How dare you say that about DK Metcalf? Calvin Johnson is only one of the greatest receivers we've ever seen. Top five, you can make the argument ever. You're not there yet, DK Metcalf. How dare you say that about me? I'm insulted and I took it personal, and that's why I had 10 catches for a million yards, not because I'm bigger, stronger, and faster than everyone else.
I mean, it's dumb, but it is a bit premature to compare DK Metcalf to Calvin Johnson, to Megatron. Is it not?
But it's not. Look, I just find it funny the degree of hair splitting that we constantly do about this stuff, so much so that Jim Schwartz is saying that he meant to compliment DK Metcalf, that he's saying, look, I've worked with Megatron and you're not quite there yet, but it's really exciting to see what it is that you've become and what it is you are and what it is that you might become. And it's just the most sports thing in the world. That would turn into a thing, that a compliment would be twisted around into an insult when being compared to Calvin Johnson as wide receiver is not in any way an insult.
Yeah, I mean, DK Metcalf putting the Jordan meme, and I took that personally. It's a weird thing to be bothered by. You're almost one of the greatest receivers we've ever seen. You're not quite there yet. Even though when you compare the stats, DK Metcalf's on a better pace right now. You remember that time that Chris Carter was asked to make a list of his top five favorite receivers, and he omitted Calvin Johnson seemingly because he just forgot, but then he kept getting pressed on it, so he kept digging himself a deeper hole by lying about it.
It's one of the great moments in ESPN history. Is it? Yes.
I think about this often. I know you know that about me, but it's just my favorite
thing
about talking.
He clearly just forgot.
Yeah,
in
but
his
he can't
top
go,
five.
CeCe apparently can't go on TV and just say, I forgot God.
But one of the reasons that I love this story every time it makes an appearance is that anytime you forget, you can always do this in sports. You can always pretend, outside of Michael Jordan not being in your top five, and even some people will argue that one, but you can always pretend that number six is number one. Let's scream at each other. Let's throw it into ESPN's maw and discuss it on several shows for many hours just because we need the content to get you. Look, man, we just exist to get you from Sunday to Sunday.
That's it. That's it. Saturday to Saturday, Sunday to Sunday.
Just keep feeding the machine sports. How do we get to sports? John Wall for Russell Westbrook. Let's just talk about that as much as we can, even though it will not make either one of those teams any kind of better under any circumstances.
They're both the same teams. I mean, even after the trade.
Both players who are names and cost way too much money, and that is always damaging in a salary-capped league if you don't have value. They're damaged players, and they're both players that if you take away their athleticism, you're finding yourself with a vastly different player. And as you get older after injury, you're going to inevitably have some athleticism taken away. Although I will admit, even as Russell Wilson's game has aged, Russell Westbrook's game has aged, I've been surprised that he continues to somehow, through age and mileage, be more athletic than everybody. Like, that's to be in that league and to be so far ahead. You remember what he looked like in his early years, where you like just couldn't believe how fast and athletic. You could have made an argument on behalf of him being the most athletic person you've ever seen play sports. That aging process hasn't been as fast as I thought it was going to be for that playing style.
No, and I heard it's an interesting trade. Like with John Wall, does that make James Harden happy? Because I heard Jay Williams talking today where John Wall has not played in a basketball game in over 700 days. Like, John Wall, I don't know. That's just such a weird trade. You're right about Westbrook, the fact that he's still playing at that level and the body hasn't.
Why is it a weird trade? It's just contract for contract and contracts that are hard to move.
Because I don't think it does anything for either team.
Oh, it just gives you a star, though. It just changes up the pieces in a way. Washington's sick of John Wall. Anything who's not John Wall is going to be embraced there. And in Houston, I don't know how they felt about Russell Westbrook, but he can be an inefficiency machine. And I can see why it is that people would look at a guy who's a former MVP and a guy who averaged a triple-double for a season and say, look, that's not good enough as my best player with that kind of usage rate. I don't want it on my team if it's not going to be at value.
I guess I'm just wondering, is that enough? You're trying to keep James Harden there. You're trying to keep James Harden
happy.
Well, you've
got him for 3 years under contract.
I know you do, but he wants out. I'm wondering, does that move make James Harden happy? Does it get him excited? I don't think it does.
Keep in mind, Westbrook wanted out. He said as much, so they had an issue there and an unhappy player. And while John Wall was, you could deem, the worst contract in the sport, he has a different style of play. Yes, he leans on his athleticism, but he's not like the usage inefficient player that Russell Westbrook is. Both teams might be better off by switching the different type of bad contract they
and
have.
And not just that, but Stugat says it's a weird trade. Here's why it's not. If you, just from a fan perspective, never mind general manager perspective, if you're in Washington and you have John Wall's contract and it's an albatross on your salary cap and you hate John Wall because he's hurt and you're not totally sure how much he cares, and when he hasn't been hurt, there are times that it feels like he's playing with a pot belly, and all the questions you have about him, getting anything, never mind a guy who was an all-star last year in Russell Westbrook, getting anything becomes a positive because you've written off John Wall. And if you're the Houston Rockets and you saw, look, we did everything we could moving these shell pieces around, moving these shells around. We tried, inventive, built it around. Russell Westbrook is center, maxed out everything we had. Hey, how about we take a flyer on the idea that maybe John Wall goes back to being somehow the player that he was before the injury? Like, it's not a great bet. It's not a probable bet, but the bet they're making is, look, we tapped out on what the high end on that could be, so let's just check in with John Wall and see if it's, you're making a bad bet hoping that there's a high ceiling that goes back to the time when he was healthy.
So let's go back to when he was healthy. Was John Wall a better player than Chris Paul? Was he a better player than Russell Westbrook? I mean,
John Wall, healthy, was a very good player.
Yes.
So, John Wall hasn't been healthy, as you said, though, in a really long time. And an Achilles tear on an athlete whose athleticism is super important.
In 2017-18, he did shoot 37% from three. That could be an outlier when you look at his career stats, but that's an improvement. They had a shooting problem over at Houston. Maybe if he's
Westbrook
not this...
Westbrook is part of that, though.
Yeah,
Westbrook
he's a big part of it.
Westbrook is one of, by volume, the worst three-point shooters, if not the worst, in the history of the sport.
Right.
You got.
No, I understand that. Maybe it just feels meaningless to me, especially in the West, because the Lakers have done such a great job. And you have to get Rob Pelinka. I know it's LeBron and he's attracting these free agents, but to get, you know, to get Marcus Gasol, to get Dennis Schroeder, to take a team that was old and make them young in one offseason. No, Dan, that team's better and a lot better.
It is better. And yes, like I was talking to some people with the Heat and
they got
like,
Harrell as well.
The Heat's like, we're not sure Boston got better. We're not sure Philadelphia got better. We're not sure Milwaukee got better. We're sure the Lakers got better. But Pelinka, that's what you're doing. Like, there's one gravitational force there that results in everything in the sport ending up in his lap. It ain't Pelinka.
No, and listen, I said on the back end of that, I know it's LeBron and he's the guy attracting the players, but it just feels like all the other moves in the West are rendered meaningless because that team is so overwhelming.
But that's what he did in Miami. You start out with something bare bones, and then you build it out because you're LeBron bleeping James, and you're the biggest athlete in America, and you can. And you've been the leader on player empowerment for a decade, and so you build your own team. And, of course, guys are going to keep joining you and keep joining you. Shaq played for a while in Cleveland. He had trouble getting guys like Anton Jameson to Cleveland. He had less trouble getting people on discounts to Miami. And he ain't going to have any problem as the reigning champion with Anthony Davis locked up getting people to want to play there.
Mike, he's got a real shot of getting the six. And then what are we going to do?
I don't know what Skip Bayless is going to do. Well, no, I have a pretty good idea. He's lazy either way, but he'll still take Jordan.
If he starts winning in his late 30s, just starts collecting. We did the same thing to Jordan, Stugatz. He won them all in our face, but we were questioning him all the years before that. Like, yeah. For all the Last Dance sort of reinventing nostalgia that we did, that part was left out. That we as a country thought that Michael Jordan was a ball hog and you couldn't win that way.
Let's go. My private jet isn't going to
fuel
itself.
Six straight.
That is something America believed, but LeBron's going to do the same thing. You were so busy criticizing the greatness while it was happening that you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, but Michael never lost in the finals. I'll always have that.
There you go.
Yes! Back!
Don Lebatard.
Every single syllable that just came out of your mouth was wrong.
Stugatz.
Don't let the cat out of the bag.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. We'll get to conversational in a second here if Dan would like. It is time for Straight Talk, though. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
We have conversational for you. I have been told by moles and sources that even by the Stugatz standards of lacking professionalism and preparedness, that the latest stupidity begins with a very polite Matt Hasselbeck not making you feel bad about making a couple of mistakes right off the bat while meeting him, introducing him to your audience on stupidity. That's how this conversation went right off the bat.
So Matt's kid, Matt has two, Annabelle, who's already a freshman at Boston College, and Mallory, who is going to be a freshman next year, Matt, at Boston College.
Yeah, so I actually have three kids, and my third is a boy. So we're kind of like girl lacrosse experts right now. But my son is the youngest; he's a freshman in high school.
So you knew nothing. I mean, you grew up in Nashville, so you knew nothing about the sport, right?
I grew up. You know, I'm kind of like my dad played in the NFL, so I grew up all over. But he was drafted to the New England Patriots, so I really grew up in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yep. Prepared, ready for that one. I also stole the idea from Eli Manning. How about that?
I just love the idea of, so Matt, you're a former American football quarterback and current analyst for ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown, right? And just keeping, just like, we should do that way. We should do an interview that way one time where we're just asking people questions from their Wikipedia page.
I didn't think Hasselbeck wanted me to focus on the son. The point was to focus on the daughters. The sons get enough attention on the athletic field. I wanted to focus on our daughters, all right?
Are you alleging that you knew that he had three children? But that's the extra chummy and scummy Stugatz charm of just being overly friendly. Were you presenting to the audience that you knew him better than you actually did? Like, what were you going for there in terms of how you were going to come out of the gate on stupidity?
I was going for exactly that. Stupidity!
All right. So enjoy that, people. Stupidity is available wherever it is you do your downloading. Can this possibly be right, what I'm about to say, that I saw the other day some pictures, and again, I never know whether it's the...
This is always dangerous.
I never know whether it's the internet.
Please don't be a shark in a mall.
So I see it being reported that squirrels, when they jump and land, they land like superheroes. They land like, was Will Smith Hitchcock, where he lands, where he
Hancock, he also played Hitch.
Hitchcock. Alfred.
Hitchcock. That's a good mistake. And I merged. He was a superhero when he danced with Kevin James. Like he was.
Oh, that's got to be a Stewie nominee, man.
It's the spinoff we all wanted.
Hitchcock.
Someone should just be so lazy that they decide to do two sequels at once.
and make it, you know, the movie, the Kevin James, Will Smith vehicle, if it were porn. So anyways, squirrels, is it true that they land like a fist or a paw when jumping from a tree, that they look like superheroes? Because
not every time. I have plenty of squirrels on my back, and no one ever really lands like Iron Man.
But to see a photograph where they're clearly doing this.
You're talking about the traditional superhero landing pose, which is bending down fist.
You land
on the ground.
And your fist cracks the surface that you're landing on because you're landing so square to the ground.
Now, you might have seen a photo of a squirrel doing it. And
I saw multiple photos of squirrels doing it.
Man, I wish I had these squirrels. Yeah. It'd be a lot cooler than the ones that I have, which I'm always afraid of my dog killing.
I'm looking at them right now. I mean, maybe Dan's on to something.
They're just rats with cute tails.
They are just rats. Put that on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Are squirrels just rats with cute tails? Because I do believe that if we saw as many rats running around as squirrels, we'd be horrified on behalf of our country.
Roy points this out on the chat here. This was a report. Someone's reporting this.
That's right. It was reported. It was reported. That's right.
That squirrels are landing like superheroes. Look, really.
I'm going to get some information about this, and
I'm going to get back to everybody
on this.
Squirrels.com.
So it was a shark in a mall.
I don't think it was. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to gather myself. I'm leaking confidence right now. I'm going to gather myself and see how it is. Look, man, the Hitchcock mistake was a bad one.
Unfortunate,
okay? I'm reeling because I did. I made a great movie by accident. Okay, it's Hitch as the superhero. He just teaches Kevin James how to dance the hell out of a song. Like it's not a little bit.
There's only Alfred and Ken.
I know there aren't
Ken Hitchcock.
Really, those.
Name another.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Are there only Alfred and Ken Hitchcock?
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Time to justify our unreasonable salaries.
Yes, Roy.
Sterling Hitchcock.
Oh, wow. Oh,
nicely done.
Excellent.
Thank you. I remember. You remember that Dallas Stars championship won only because all the players hated Ken Hitchcock?
No goal.
Yeah. Skate was in the crease, Roy. I'm with you.
Don Levitard.
Every single syllable that just came out of your mouth was wrong.
Stugatz.
Don't let the cat out of the bag.
This is the Don Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices.
We will find out in maybe 7 minutes at the height of entertainment what someone is having for lunch. That's a thing that's going to happen here in 6 or 7 minutes. It's why you listen to this show the way you do. We've seen all of you out there who are proudly putting up your Spotify records that you've been listening to millions of minutes of this show, 10 episodes a day. We're proud of you. We thank you for your allegiances. And 10 minutes from now, we reward you with a segment that keeps you around. We're going to find out what someone's going to have for lunch, and I don't know who it is. I don't know, and this is the big part, what it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's like 10 minutes from now.
That's called What's for Lunch.
That's right. Yeah. The only thing more creative than the content in the segment is what it's called.
It could be anybody.
I mean, we did it yesterday. I'm not certain.
Right. Well, we do it every day, which is why we're the stickiest show in America. Yeah, it's how we got to be the biggest sports radio show in America with, I mean, the allegiance of an audience that we can say, if not unprecedented, is pretty damn close to wherever Jim Rome was when he was inviting people to jungles. And I'm telling you this about Jim Rome.
Mm-hmm.
When was he telling you what others on his show were having for lunch? He didn't do it that way. He might be a pioneer on his front, but he's not a pioneer the way we are,
that
where like every day we tell you while people pay us what we're having for lunch.
So 5 minutes, everyone be on their toes. Tony, it could go to you. It could be you today, Roy.
It could go anywhere. Yep, I mean, it's like, it is honestly, this is what it is for America, given how many people listen to us. It's like watching a radio game of Russian roulette. Who are they going to go to? Where's it going to end up? It should be bigger than Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Mina Kimes. That should be the biggest show in America, just going to somebody and put it in prime time instead of lunchtime. Prime time's what's going to be for lunch.
I know we have to get to Christina. We will. I actually watched that episode of Millionaire last night. Mina delivered that in a way that was, if I'm sitting in that chair, she said probably. There was enough confidence in her voice, which is an issue with Mina, by the way, at times, where I would have gone for the $1 million as well. She seemed as confident as one could seem in that situation.
That is correct.
It was a nice breakdown, huh?
It really was. Two days late after we were talking about it, when you originally said you ripped her. I think you were ripping her for not having enough conviction after you yourself had not seen it. You ripped one of the most prepared people in the history of ESPN.
Yeah, my apologies to Mina for doing that, because you guys presented it as like she kind of felt like she knew. No, she was pretty adamant that she knew. Like, she gave you reasoning, 1800s, gave you the president, told you it wasn't one of them, but told you who it was going to be.
Probably is not adamant. Probably.
I'm just saying it's enough for me in that seat. I always wonder to myself, if I'm in that seat, what would be enough if I had to phone a friend? Would probably be enough. Probably with some conviction behind it would certainly be enough for me, especially coming from someone as smart as her.
For the TV audience watching at home, probably not a ton of conviction, but for those that know Mina...
That was her defiant and showboating.
David Chang obviously knew Mina well enough to make her the lifeline. That's uber confidence from Mina Kimes.
Oh, how jealous was Pablo? How jealous do you imagine Pablo was? That not only Mina was the one getting the phone call, but she got it right. Pablo is really Mina's nemesis in a way that always has him losing. Anyways, I'm sorry. We've yammered for long enough. Please, Christine Lisi, continue.
And finally, Goofy is a widower. Who knew?
Oh, no.
What?
What? Who was Goofy's wife? I put it on the poll. Did you know that Goofy was a widower? That is shocking and dark. This is disappointing. I've had a piece of my day ruined. Stugatz, I wanted to get into, and we didn't do this, and we should have, and you probably want to turn down those kazoos as I'm talking about the death of Diego Maradona. Not exactly the mood that you want.
Well, we were just talking about the death of Mrs. Geef, apparently, is her name.
What?
Her name is Mrs. Geef.
Mrs. Geef.
Yeah, died in a tragic accident.
How do you spell it?
Like goof, but with two E's.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't that character take off?
No longer with us.
But why? I mean, did Disney kill her on purpose because of, you know, her name is Mrs. Geef?
I'm trying to get down to the bottom of whether or not she did die in a car accident or whether or not that's what the internet pieced together.
A car accident?
Yeah.
It seems odd, Mike.
Mrs. Goofy. Geef?
Have you ever seen Goofy behind the wheel? I mean,
how did he survive?
I mean, this has to be super traumatic if he was responsible for Mrs. Geef.
Huge independence, though. I love, I don't know, how old is the Goofy character? Because I love the empowerment of she kept her own name, her own last name when she got married.
I think about this a lot, almost as much as I think about Chris Carter lying about not forgetting Calvin Johnson in his top five. Goofy's a dog, right? And he's like, yuck, and talking and all that stuff. But Pluto is also a dog. But Pluto's just like a regular dog and doesn't have the capability of driving horribly or raising a family the way that Goofy does in Goof Troop, for example.
it does say she was known as Mrs. Goofy, so I don't know, keeping her name.
Okay,
I mean,
then I was wrong. Yes. It was the times, Stugatz. It was an early time.
Also,
I'm not even
Mrs.
sure
Geef.
If she had the right to vote back then.
It's also a.k.a. Mrs. Geef.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please, if you don't mind. Which of the dogs is cooler, Goofy or Pluto?
And also, why is Pluto like the size of a dog relative to an owner when his owner is a mouse? Shouldn't Mickey be smaller than Pluto?
Billy, you have something that you're eager to say on this subject?
Was his name Goofy Geef then?
It's a great question. I don't know where we are with this, except...
I think it's just Goofy.
I'm really hoping that whoever it is that came up with this idea was fired immediately from Disney. It's a terrible name, and I'm not afraid to say it. And the fact that he's a widower, while shocking
to
me...
Wow, guys, Goofy's full name is George G. Geef.
No.
Yeah, because if you see, like, on his mailboxes... sometimes it's like GG Goofy Goof. No, it's George G. Geef. And I guess people go by like his middle name sometimes, which
okay.
is Goof.
I'm glad we were able to do that for everybody involved that was listening to this. But I know that all of you were just sort of waiting around saying to yourself, as great as that content is, I wonder who's having what for lunch. So let's, without further ado.
Where were you headed before Mrs.
Like,
Geef?
I don't remember. It's the nature of the show. I was headed to the death of Diego Maradona. How'd that work out for me?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest athletes ever, yes, and one of the most famous athletes in the history of America and the world's most popular sport. I was going to eulogize him with poems about mortality.
We eulogize Mrs. Geef instead.
That's what happened. You all saw it happen. You were here with me. And then when I said to myself, well, I can correct it at the very end, I'm like, nope, got to go to What's for Lunch.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
Wikipedia entry. Full name, GG Goofy Goof, but he has several aliases. Dippy Dog, George G. Geef, Goofus D. Dog, Goofy G. Goof, and Super Goof.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it.
Where's the lunch roulette going to end up? Other than with a bullet in my head.
Black Friday's been extended, and right now, you can take advantage of limited time Black Friday savings and let HelloFresh spice up mealtime at home. Let's go to Roy today. Roy, what do you have? Because I am telling you, Mike and I love HelloFresh. There is no one. And I mean nobody who loves HelloFresh more than Roy Bellamy. He's raving about it every single day. So, Roy, tell the audience what's for lunch today.
Oh, well, I'm finishing off Thanksgiving. I made my turkey carcass soup on Monday, and I'm going to have that today for lunch.
All right. A little HelloFresh for dinner tonight, though, I'm assuming?
Hashtag carcass the key.
Don Lebatard, the Deeks.
What are you doing?
It's their name.
The Demon Deacons.
Yep. The Deeks.
Stugatz.
Nobody calls them the Deeks.
Everyone calls them the Deeks.
Who calls them the Deeks?
Everyone. This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Time to see who got it done. Brought to you by Grainger. At the Camping World Maui Invitational, which due to COVID is being played in Asheville, North Carolina, the number 17 Texas Longhorns and the number 14 North Carolina Tar Heels came down to the buzzer. Following two made free throws by Leaky Black of the Tar Heels, Texas went down the court, and with 1 second remaining, Matt Coleman III hit what would be a game-winning jumper, allowing the Longhorns to escape with a 69-67 win. Matt Coleman III, never heard of him, but he's getting it done. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by a branch.
Guillermo, can you put it on the poll, please? Does Stugatz pronounce escape with an X?
I do.
And also, can you just tell me again where the Maui Invitational is being played?
The Camping World Maui Invitational is being played in Asheville, North Carolina. It's a weird year, man.
So the Maui Invitational is being played in Asheville.
Yeah. Now, Bill Walton is normally on the call in Maui. He's in Asheville but he is doing a great job of pretending that he is in Maui.
Well,
surprising.
Spiritually, he might still be there. Mentally, he might be there. I am sorry. I need to quell the laughter here because I owe not just ESPN here, but the parent company of ESPN, Disney, a profound apology because people are saying Goofy's a dog. It's not a dog. That Goofy is a cow.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that believe out there, even someone on our own staff, I'm afraid to admit, that believes that Goofy...
Who is that?
He is a cow.
Who thinks on our staff that Goofy is a cow?
Roy, reveal yourself.
I mean, I always thought it was a cow. I mean, we got a dog already with Pluto. Why would we have another dog?
It's a good point.
Goofy.
Yeah, it's a common mistake because of his association with a Clarabelle cow, who has been known to date Goofy in the past.
Whoa! What does Mrs. Geef think about that?
Well, I don't know if he moved on after Mrs.
He's Geef. No longer with us, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he is not a cow. He's an anthropomorphic dog. Everyone knows this, but Disney won't come out and say it because then opens up the door to all the sorts of questions that we have about Pluto. How can this exist in this world? So maybe there's just different breeds of dogs.
All right, put that on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is Goofy... a dog or a cow? Because
big flappy ears.
Cows have flappy ears.
Really?
As well? Huh. They can?
I think so.
I feel like we just need to see his underbelly, right? I mean, he can either be milked or he can't.
Well, if Goofy's a boy, then I think a boy cow is a bull, no?
Chris is so right about this.
But he's not a cow.
Let's go, Goofy. Let's see. Let's see if you're one or the other.
Oh,
holy cow.
Why doesn't this thing work? Why doesn't the loser game show sound hurt?
Because Dan, look at me.
No!
Yeah, that was a good
one. I don't deserve one or the other.
Are you kidding me?
One or the other? Yeah. I don't deserve anything for that. But why does the loser game show sound
just,
not
just
work?
Unplug it and blow in the cartridge.
All right. Keep it moving.
The highest of technological sophistication.
What?
Yes. What happened? I thought Billy deserved something better than that. He deserved more respect than that.
Nah, he was milking it.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to think of a beef joke. Something to do. Who does he have beef with? At Lebatard Show on Twitter. What do you have there, Stugat?
Oh, man. Is there anything more gratifying than cracking a dozen ice cubes out of an ice tray?
It seems like it was 10 months ago that we asked that question.
52% of the audience said no. Have you ever spilled water trying to take an ice tray to the fridge? 95% of the audience said yes.
All right, we're going to update more of the polls and get to the bottom of this Goofy controversy in the post-game show.